Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw. Very controversial Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to talk to us live, of course, you can hit us up in the chat room. We can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. I do not bite. I can't tell you how many people have written to me saying, I want to call, but I think you're going to yell at me. Oh, I haven't yelled at anybody yet. A couple people. A couple idiots who called to say, did you know wrestling was predetermined? Gee, no, I didn't. Thanks for calling. I don't yell at fans. Anyway, the Saudi Arabia controversy has really topped the news. And I got to tell you that I have received more emails and PMs about this than anything that's ever happened in wrestling so far. And there are people saying, you jumped the gun, nothing happened, it was all just AJ Styles put it all to rest, it was all this, it was all that. There are people saying, oh, it was way, way worse. People were taken off the plane at gunpoint. There's so much stuff going on. Let's just cut to the chase. You and I are never going to know the truth because the WWE, the Saudi Arabian government, and the powers that be do not want us to know the truth. But if you have common sense and a little bit of political savvy, you know exactly what happened. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the Saudi government decided, specifically the prince, he'd hold things up just like Vince McMahon supposedly held up the feed. Now they're saying, oh, no, it's the Saudi problem that held up the feed. Explain to me in the history of the world whenever a plane being delayed due to mechanical problems is cause for the White House to be briefed, is cause for the ambassador to Saudi Arabia to be told what's going on. Does that happen if it's delayed in, I don't know, the UK? Does it happen if it's delayed in China? Does it happen if it's delayed in Japan, New Zealand, Australia? No. So wake up, grow up, and realize what happened here. Here's what happened. Now, I don't have any proof, but I can guarantee you I will be borne out as right eventually. Vince McMahon and the Saudi prince got into a dick-waving contest, and he felt, the Saudi prince felt, that perhaps Vince McMahon caused him to lose a little face. So he caused Vince McMahon to lose a little face by not having his wrestlers show up on SmackDown where they belong. Now, people are saying, well, some of them chartered a flight. If they were going to hold them hostage, how come they didn't stop them from chartering a flight? Well, these are people who are politically ignorant. The reason they didn't stop them from chartering a flight is if they did, it would have been an international incident that would have involved the United States of America being actively involved in a hostage situation. They're not going to do that. What they're going to do is exactly what I said they were going to do, and they did it, which is say, oh, there's a problem with the plane. For your safety, everybody please get off the plane and go to a hotel where we will make sure you don't leave. And we will make sure you're well guarded so fans don't get to you, so the general public don't get to you. We're doing this for you. We're your buddies. We're not keeping you here. We're protecting you. Far from us keeping you here. We're just making sure the plane is perfect. Everything's perfect. You're well guarded so you're not bothered by anyone. We're your buddies. But everybody knew what it meant. It meant you're not leaving until we say you're leaving. Are you going to tell me that the Saudi government, with all the money in the world and an airport the size of Texas, doesn't have another airplane? Doesn't have another pilot? Couldn't have said, well, I mean, gee, you guys are, you know, we're throwing big money at you and you're helping us out. We'll get a plane right to you, man. No problem. That's their only plane, right? Oh, our plane went down. Our one plane went down. Bad luck today. It's going to take 12, 14 hours to fix this plane. And we don't have another one because we're such a poor country. Come on, folks. You're smarter than that. This is exactly what happened. Vince McMahon and the Saudi prince got into it. The Saudi prince, who's not used to being disrespected by anyone, felt that he was disrespected, felt that he lost some face. So he said, okay, well, you know what? I don't want to start an international incident, but I'll show him. I'll delay his guys here. They're not in any danger. I told you they weren't in any danger. Not going to do anything to them. Let's not get overly dramatic. They're just going to say, oh, sorry, guys. We don't really have any way of allowing you to get on this plane. So we'll just keep you here until everything's fixed. It'll only be, you know, 5-6 hours, and it turns into 12. If you want to charter a plane out, well, that's your business. We're not going to stop you. Of course they can't stop them, because then they would be showing their hand of what they're really doing, wouldn't they? That's what happened, folks. If you don't believe me just based on that, last night before Monday Night Raw, there was a big, huge meeting of all the workers to address the situation. What situation? That an airplane was mechanically unsafe? That's never happened in the history of WWE in all the time they've traveled. There was never any flight delays based on mechanics, right? So now they have to hold a special meeting to discuss this with the wrestlers. Please, it doesn't pass the laugh test. And in this meeting, supposedly, Seth Rollins was used as the locker room leader scapegoat and told everyone, you know, cheer up, folks. We're all a team. Let's go do this thing. And oh, and by the way, if you have a gripe about anything, don't put it on Twitter. Don't put it on Instagram. Don't put it on social media. Keep it to yourself. Talk to the powers that be here, but don't broadcast it to fans. That's a bad idea. It's a really bad idea. And then they were asked, does anybody have any questions? Nobody did, because everybody knows what the situation is. It was a meeting that was called Shut Up. Don't talk about the incident. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars at stake. A TV deal in the Middle East at stake. And your stupid contract and your stupid delay does not rise to the level of blowing it for us. That's what it is. They can spin it any way they want. They can say, no. AJ Styles can say, no, it wasn't mechanical. Maybe he thinks it was. I'm sure that's what they were told. Do you think the Saudi prince said, everybody off the plane. Vince McMahon has angered me and I am holding you hostage. You think that he did that? You think that's how politics works? So the United States can say, oh, you're holding people hostage, huh? We'll just come over there and bomb your stupid country. No. He smiled in their faces and said, don't worry, guys, your plane has a problem, but we'll put you up in a beautiful hotel with plenty of food and we'll make sure you're comfortable and we'll put guards so nobody can get to you. And we'll let you know when the plane's okay to leave. Don't worry about it. That's what he did. And he did it to piss Vince McMahon off, not to piss the United States off, not because they hate America. He's trying to use Vince McMahon, for God's sake. Now the WWE comes out and says, well, we've extended our deal till 2027. Well, that's not an extension. You had a 10-year deal. It's 3 years on, so 2027 would be it. No. So that's all propaganda. Then he's told, and we're going to have two big events every year instead of one. You've always had two big events. So, again, this is all just propaganda. This is all just, we're all fine. Everything's fine. Nothing to see here, folks. But believe me, there are very, very, very strong sources that know exactly what happened. Perhaps AJ Styles doesn't. If you're sitting on a plane and you're told, excuse me, you all have to get off the plane, there's mechanical issues, I imagine you're going to believe them. And if you're treated well, and you're not told you're being held against your will, I imagine you might believe, no, everything's fine. But that's not exactly what happened, is it? Because any idiot would know, okay, there's mechanical issues on this plane. How many more planes are in that airport that you could get us onto if you really, really, really were determined to get us back on time? You can give the WWE $500 million, but you can't get a plane in the air to get them back? Has to be that plane? Come on. Ridiculous. So what has happened now is Seth Rollins has become the locker room leader. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Good luck with having a locker room leader who does nothing but bitch and complain and moan and groan on Instagram and Twitter. And he's at it again, saying, oh, you know, fans are whiners. If they don't get their way, then they whine, they whine, they whine, they whine. Okay. So that is the equivalent of saying customers are complainers. If you don't give them the product they want, they complain. But Seth Rollins would be the first person, I'll bet you, to send food back in a restaurant saying, this isn't the product I want. Seth Rollins would be the first person to send back a faulty piece of equipment saying, this is faulty. But he thinks you're a whiner if you complain. I'd love to have a conversation with these people because, unfortunately, I think the vast majority of them, and I'm not saying everyone, but I think the vast majority of some of these guys aren't that bright. God bless them. They're just not that bright because they don't grasp the concept. If Seth Rollins was a bright man, he would have said a long time ago, you know, I think that I probably better stay off Twitter. I thought I was defending the WWE, but I think fans are taking it the wrong way and they're starting to turn on me. And I don't want that because my career is based on being a face right now. So I kind of need to cater to the fans. No, instead you go get on there and start yelling at the fans. So that'll endear you to them even more, won't it? There's an arrogance there. You see, the problem is there's an arrogance of I'm right, you're wrong, I'm the star and you're the peon. And it's an exact reverse philosophy. You're only the star because the people who come to see you made you that way. If there's no one in the audience, Vince McMahon can have you win every match. You're not a star. The people make you a star. No matter how much Vince McMahon pushes you, if no one's there to watch, you're not a star. The people make you a star. They don't grasp the concept. It's unbelievable. Sometimes. Just unbelievable. Anyway, will we ever know the truth about Saudi? No, probably not. WWE wrestlers have basically been told, shut up, say nothing, and they probably will obey. Probably will. And I know there's some people saying, well, you know, you're calling AJ Styles a liar. I'm not calling AJ Styles a liar. He's probably, that's what he was told and he believed it. But obviously Carl Anderson was told something different because he said, I'm never going back. And his wife said he was being held hostage. Now, I would imagine that in those 12 or 14 hours that Carl Anderson was stuck, he was tweeting his wife, letting her know he was stuck. And something he said must have alarmed her enough to tweet out that he should never go back because if that country was going to, quote unquote, hold people hostage, it wasn't worth the money. So you think he was tweeting out, hey, honey, the airplane broke down. I'll be stuck here for 12 hours, but it's a beautiful hotel and we're having a great time and everything's wonderful. It's just that I'm stuck because the airplane is down. And then she'd say, oh, well, that's good. I don't want you to get on a faulty airplane. I'm glad they, you know, caught that. Think she'd be tweeting, my husband's being held hostage? Come on, folks. You're all smarter than this. Anyway, let's get on to Monday Night Raw because it was pretty interesting, wasn't it? Triple H shows up in the beginning, and we know, of course, that means NXT is coming, because suddenly Triple H does not represent WWE. He represents NXT exclusively, which is odd. I don't ever remember them saying Triple H will no longer be actively involved in WWE's day-to-day activities. He is strictly NXT. I don't remember that happening. But it starts off with Brock Lesnar. Now, this goes to show you something. When Brock Lesnar is used correctly, which he almost never is because he doesn't show up enough, Brock Lesnar can be very effective. He's definitely a heel that people boo. He's not the coolest guy in the room. He doesn't come out to the coolest entrance. He doesn't have the coolest t-shirt. He doesn't have a bunch of one-liners. He doesn't crack funny jokes and catchphrases. And because of that, people genuinely boo him. And Paul Heyman is very good on the mic, and he cut a complete heel promo where he basically said everybody in the back are bitches who know they can't stand up to Brock Lesnar. They saw what Brock Lesnar did to Cain Velasquez, who's a legitimate badass. Who's next? Rey Mysterio's next. And they're not going anywhere until someone tells them where Rey Mysterio is. This is followed by a very realistic-looking mauling being given to a lackey or a roadie backstage, where it looked like he threw him around like a rag doll. I thought he broke his neck, to be honest, looking for Rey Mysterio. And we know what that starts, and that is, at some point in the night, we are going to see Brock Lesnar, Rey Mysterio, which is a good thing. So I thought this was a very good start to the episode, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, the promo Paul Heyman pulled was a pretty awesome promo. As I doing a decent heel promo, that says nobody could stand up to Brock Lesnar, and at the end of the promo, we're going to look for Rey Mysterio, and Lesnar start going backstage. He threw a guy off the table. Look, where's Rey Mysterio and all that other stuff? To me, that was...
Yeah, it looked very real. It looked very good. I thought they did a good job. I really did. Now, the matches themselves, we got some decent matches. I mean, we could go through them one at a time. And you know, look, Cedric Alexander and Buddy Murphy fought each other for no good reason other than it's a 205 Live matchup. We, you know, fine, good match, whatever. Viking Raiders have a squash to try to make up for the fact that they lost in Saudi Arabia. I guess that's fine. But to be honest, if you're going to really make these guys important, you're going to have to put them up against some good talent. If you want them to win, I'm all for it, but put them up against somebody that's not back to squash matches. Now, the one I disagreed with very strongly, if there was one that I could point to that I would definitely say was not a good idea, were the Kabuki Warriors versus Charlotte and Natty. Because first off, I see no reason for Charlotte and Natty to be a tag team. No reason whatsoever. Charlotte Flair is much better off on her own. Perhaps Natty needs a tag team. Charlotte Flair certainly does not. And on top of that, you've just kind of established the Kabuki Warriors. They're tag team champions. They're, you know, doing very well, I thought, to be honest. And here we go with a tap out. Asuka taps out to Natty. Not even to Charlotte. Wow. Wow. And I'm saying to myself, okay, well, this is going to set up a tag team match. I get it, but there are better ways to do this. And I don't think Natty and Charlotte have any real chemistry as a tag team. So I was a little upset to see that wasted. We get a very impassioned speech by Seth Rollins, who even in his speech cannot resist taking a jab at the fans. Literally says, I heard a lot of you guys were pretty happy that the Fiend won. And to be perfectly honest, I don't give a damn. See, that was, if he's turning heel, which he probably is, then I guess that's fine. But if for any reason he's not turning heel, this was as dumb as dumb dirt. Because that would have been the exact time to say, and I really don't know why. You know, I really don't. obviously there's something about him you like, and I don't know what it is because I see nothing likable about him. And I thought, you know, I thought I represented you guys pretty well. But, I mean, you're entitled to cheer for who you want. But I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say that it doesn't bring me down a little bit because, you know, I needed your support. I need your support. I think fans would have appreciated that if he's going to stay face. Instead of saying, I don't give a damn. Well, if you don't give a damn, then what are we rooting for you at all for then if you don't give a damn? You don't give a damn whether we cheer or boo you, then why do we bother? This leads to Triple H coming out. Here we go. Triple H says, well, I know what you need. You need to go back to where your future has to be your past. Well, Finn Balor already used that line. But they used it again. I guess they liked it. And he's indicating you need to go to NXT. And Triple H says, you know very well what I could do for you over there. Well, wait a minute. Triple H is a face over there, and what's he alluding to? See, this is why I don't like this angle too much, because if you're in the NXT, especially if you're Adam Cole, you're saying, whoa, Triple H. What are you saying? You're saying if your boy Seth Rollins comes over here, you're going to, you know, pretty much hook him up and fuck us over? I thought you were for us, because that's kind of what Triple H was saying. I'll hook you up. You come over to NXT, you know what I can do for you. Well, if you're the NXT guys, you're like, wait a minute, Triple H. What are you saying? But then he says, I did not come alone, and out comes Undisputed Era, which they should have done on Friday night. Exactly what I said they should have done Friday night with Daniel Bryan. Because, see, if you'd done it Friday night with Daniel Bryan, the crowd on Monday would have already known what was up. Oh, even if you don't know those guys, you'd say, oh, these are the guys that jumped Daniel Bryan on Friday. They're back. This time they're after Seth Rollins. See, that's how, when I say these things, a lot of people write to me and say, how come you're picking on these wrestlers? How come you're picking on that? I thought you liked this guy, and I thought this, and I thought that, and it was a great match. I'm not picking on any of it. I'm trying to say you have to see the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is there were fans in Long Island last night who had no idea who Undisputed Era were or Adam Cole. So there were certain fans who said, oh, isn't this the guy that beat Daniel Bryan? Yeah. Why are there guys coming out with him? Who are these guys? See, had you done it Friday, you would have set the table for Monday. And you knew you were going to do this Monday. So that's my gripe. That's why I didn't care for that. Adam Cole needed to get over Friday night as a heel. And he didn't. And it hurt this performance, didn't it? Because fans didn't know what to think. Then to add more complexity, Triple H says you're either with me or you're against me. And the Undisputed Era start to circle the ring. And who comes out to make the save for Seth Rollins? The OC. Now, I had said the OC and the Undisputed Era is where the money is, and it is. And it is. But under these circumstances, I'm not sure this is the right way to do it, because what you're kind of doing is you're kind of making it look as though the OC flipped face or something. They're sticking up for Seth Rollins. Then they get into it, and it turns out there's more people there. Dykovic and all the other people attack. Then out come the heavy artillery, Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder. Why nobody else came out, I don't know. Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder. See, the WWE has this annoying habit of giving the fans what they want after they already fuck it up. In other words, we want the OC versus the Undisputed Era, no question. But now you fucked it up a little bit. We don't want it this way. We want Shayna Baszler as the top heel. But then why did you have her beat up Bayley and Sasha? We'd have rather had her come in and do what she did last night. What she did last night, her and Becky Lynch, was better than any promo in the last year on Monday Night Raw or SmackDown. Because it sounded legitimate, it sounded real, it played off of past relationships. Where Shayna Baszler said, all I ever hear about is how you come out of NXT and accomplish this and accomplish that, and you're this and you're that. And Becky Lynch in turn says, look, the queen of your little sect of people is Ronda Rousey, and I beat her ass. I could beat yours. This was a very, very, very good segment. But one that would have been much more effective if Shayna Baszler had a laid waste to a face and not heels on Raw, on SmackDown. Now, I know it's because they want to add Bayley to the mix. I get it. But there was no reason at all why Shayna Baszler couldn't have come out, beat the hell out of Nikki Cross, and then when it looked like Bayley and Sasha were like, oh, okay, we got help from an unexpected source, then she beats them up too. Because then it would have looked like, well, I really wasn't out here to mess with them, but if they want to think I'm their friend, I'm not their friend. That would have worked. So again, the WWE has this annoying habit of giving you what you want too late. And this happened again, didn't it, with Rusev, who gets in the ring and says exactly what I said he should have said to begin with. If you want her, take her. You saw what she did to me, like she's not going to do that to you because you're special. So go ahead and take her. No, they had to make Rusev first say, I wear this ring because I hope that someday my wife, who's been rubbing her affair in my face for 6 weeks, will come back to me and make him look like a wimp. Then when they realize, yeah, we get a lot of feedback from fans saying, why does Rusev look like a wimp and a sissy? You think we should just make him say, go ahead and take Lana? Yeah, let's go with that. Well, why didn't you realize that to begin with? Why do you always have to be coached about what to do? See, that's the thing. If you had your finger on the pulse of the fans, you wouldn't need to do these second chance things. You'd already realize it. You'd already say, we can't have the Fiend lose at Hell in a Cell. Even because, you know, that's not going to work. He ends up winning anyway. The Fiend ends up winning anyway, so why the hell couldn't he have just won at Hell in a Cell? Oh, we made a mistake. We're correcting it. Rusev says, go ahead and take Lana. I don't give a damn. I'm just going to kick your ass for what you did. How come he couldn't say that to begin with? Shayna Baszler finally comes out and does her heel thing. How come she couldn't do that to begin with? The Undisputed Era come out and are obviously heels. How come they couldn't do that to begin with? Aleister Black goes back to his dark roots. How come he couldn't do that to begin with? See, that's what happens in the WWE. They eventually get around to giving you what you want. But it's after they've already ruined it so bad you can't enjoy it fully. And that's why I get on them. So for the benefit of the people who don't understand when I pick on this, I'm saying you have to look at the big picture. So now we get Rusev in a situation where we say, this is the Rusev we want. The Rusev says, go ahead and take Lana. That's what you want? Go for it. Doesn't mean I'm not going to kick your ass. They pull the old, I'm hurt and I can't do anything routine. And Rusev fights instead Drew McIntyre. And Drew McIntyre is once again put in a situation where, you know, he's not going to win. But they don't want him to lose, so you kind of already know that Bobby Lashley's going to attack, which he does eventually after Randy Orton attacks. And Team Flair is back together, except that Drew McIntyre walks away. Just waves his hand at it and walks away. And Ricochet makes the save. Because, of course, if Rusev can't fight off two people, a 180-pound guy can. No problem. No problems here. Rusev, you stay out of this. The superhero has arrived. Randy Orton, Bobby Lashley, they don't want no part of this. They don't want none of this. Okay. I mean, listen, that's what you want to do. That's fine. It's not believable, but fine. They even let him knock down Lana, which I thought was interesting. Inadvertently. So what the WWE here is doing with this Raw is they're trying to establish NXT's guys the way they want them to be established. And before you think SmackDown is probably going to invade Wednesday night, don't count on it. SmackDown's in Europe Wednesday night. Don't know if any Raw guys will. They're trying to establish the NXT hierarchy as who they are before the Survivor Series, which is not a bad thing. They're trying to get back on track with Rusev being a tough guy instead of a wimp. And I just think it would have been awesome. And I'll tell you what, if they had have done that to begin with. If you really wanted to book something that I think would have stuck in the fans' minds, you should have had Drew McIntyre come out there like a house of fire, storm to the ring, see the look on Rusev's face and be like, yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm not your patsy. I'm not going to take the brunt of your punishment and start to get out of the ring. Jerry Lawler could have sold that well and said, did you see the look on Rusev's face? Drew McIntyre want none of it. Bobby Lashley could be like, what the hell? You know, Drew McIntyre's walking away, and then Randy Orton hits. And you realize, no, it's all a setup. It's all a setup. That would have been better. Because I don't know why Drew McIntyre walked away. He's part of Team Flair. If you're saying, oh, Team Flair's revenge, well, Drew McIntyre wanted no part of it. So don't get it. But all in all, Todd, they handled the NXT roster a hell of a lot better than they handled the NXT roster, in my opinion, on SmackDown.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about the NXT roster last night, it was a little better handled last night than it was Friday night. And like you said about the Rusev and the Bobby Lashley thing, I would have said the same thing. You could have Lana.
They should have done from the very beginning, Mike, is just make Rusev one of these, you know, tough guys who says, hey, you think you're hurting me by putting up all these videos and whatever? You can have her. If she's that kind of a person, why would I want her? They finally get around to it, Mike, but they get around late.
Boy, and then they lost touch. They're like, hey, we can stay connected on the internet and let's record.
Anyway, bottom line of that situation is, too little, too late. I don't know. Is anybody really interested in the feud? I guess. I guess some people might be. What do we got left? The OC. And I guess you can include AJ Styles as a part of that against Humberto Carrillo and the Street Profits. This was odd because I really thought the Street Profits kind of made a little bit of a name for themselves in the past couple weeks with the fans. The fans seem to be digging them. Fans were very quiet for this, unusually quiet. And I thought, geez, you know, Street Profits kind of momentum kind of stalled there a little bit. As far as Humberto Carrillo, I guess he's going to make a career of losing to AJ Styles. He's lost to AJ Styles three straight times. I don't care if AJ Styles puts on the ropes. At some point, you got to say, well, how many times is he going to lose to him? This is probably not. I thought when you put him up against Seth Rollins, I said, okay, I get it. He's going to come up a little short against Seth Rollins, but that's fine. Because you're going to show, well, he took Seth Rollins to the limit. He's someone to be reckoned with here in the WWE. Then he fights AJ Styles. And I said, okay, well, they're going to do the same thing probably. And instead, all we get is, okay, Humberto Carrillo puts on a good fight, but he loses. Fans weren't into this match. Speaking of fans not being into the match, Andrade and Zelina Vega take on Sin Cara and Catalina in a mixed tag. It's a mixed tag match. And I don't know. You know, I was all for this Sin Cara thing, saying, you know, if you're going to push him a little bit, you know, he's not going to beat Andrade, but that's good that you're showing Sin Cara as a pretty good wrestler and maybe, you know, using your B squad a little bit. And then when he fought him the second week, I said, well, maybe he'll even get a win. Maybe they'll go 50-50, but I'd rather they didn't. And they didn't, which was great. So then when they come out this week, 3 weeks in a row, and they added the women to the mix, I said, okay, well, this is where they're going to get their win probably. Catalina will beat Zelina Vega. Nope, didn't happen. Didn't happen. Instead, we really get a botch fest. I don't know who this girl Catalina is, but she's not lighting it on fire. I can tell you that. She looked like she had her first match, about a month ago. Botch after botch there. Zelina Vega, way better. Way better. Gets the win, and I don't know what they're going to do with Sin Cara and Catalina. Not much. And that leads us to Seth Rollins and Adam Cole. Now, granted, after Adam Cole gets the big victory over Daniel Bryan on SmackDown, you have to be thinking to yourself, well, look, they're promoting Tommaso Ciampa and, going after his belt. He's not losing his belt tonight. We all know that. So then the next option is, of course, Undisputed Era is going to interfere. Or perhaps Seth Rollins is going to flip. We don't know what's going to happen as far as that's concerned. But instead, no, it's the Undisputed Era. After Seth Rollins kind of takes about, I'd say, 80% of the match, Undisputed Era hits the ring, and it just ends up a big fight between Raw and NXT. And I think we can see the writing on the wall, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but I got a pretty damn good feeling that Seth Rollins' team at Survivor Series is going to go up against NXT, and Seth Rollins is going to turn. That seems to be where this is leading. I think the WWE's read the writing on the wall with Seth Rollins. He's going about as far as he's going to go as a face right now. Fans have kind of lost interest in him as a face. He's not a good natural face. It just isn't. He just isn't. We got some people on the phones. We're having a real problem with the phone line, so we're going to try to get them back, hopefully. Seth has worn out his welcome as a face, and I think that do you want him in NXT? I don't think so. But maybe they do. I mean, maybe they feel, well, if we can get Seth Rollins over on NXT, that's going to draw some interest away from AEW because they're beating them in the ratings every week. And if you think that's not important, because a lot of people say, they don't really care. Yeah, they do. Oh, yeah, they do. It's embarrassing. It wasn't embarrassing the first week. The WWE put up a big congratulations to AEW. They knew. They knew everyone was going to watch the new show. It's just the way it goes. Even I did. Of course you're going to watch the new show and see how it is and how the production is and how they handle it and all that stuff. It's exciting. It's new. It's fresh. Maybe even the second week, but you're going into week 5 and 6, and if you're going to get killed for 8, 10, 12 straight weeks, that's embarrassing. So the WWE wants to win one of these weeks, and they want to win this one. And they're hoping against hope that this storyline will lead you to say, well, I have to watch. Because I'm sure that some WWE guys are going to crash the party there. There's going to be a big angle leading up to Survivor Series. I don't know if there will be or there won't. I do know that most of the SmackDown roster is in Europe, so I don't think so. So we'll see what happens with that. As far as the overall tone of Raw, I did like it better than SmackDown. A lot of people didn't. I understand. The matches probably were better on SmackDown. I'm not going to argue that. My argument comes from how they handled the NXT roster. And yes, I know it was an emergency thing. Yes, I know they didn't plan it. But again, I never take what happens to avid wrestling fans, because avid wrestling fans knows everyone. People could have showed up from some indie federation somewhere in Long Island or New Jersey, and I know that guy. Don't talk to avid wrestling fans about that. Talk to your casual wrestling fan, and that's what I did. Because at the end of the day, the casual wrestling fans, much like our elections, where it's not your hardcore Democrats, your hardcore Republicans are going to go out and vote. You already know they're going to go out and vote. It's the casual voter that you've got to try to get in. Well, if you're going to get big numbers, you got to get the casual wrestling fan in. And when I talked to the casual wrestling fans, a lot of those people said, I like SmackDown, but I don't even know who Adam Cole is. Who is that guy? He was a really good wrestler, and he seems like a good guy. Yeah, because he didn't come across as a heel in any way, shape, or form. So then when they see him Monday night, now I get it. Now I get what he's about. Yeah, well, that would have been great if you did that on Friday. So you could have set up Monday. But on a brighter note, we are looking down the barrel of what could be a pretty damn interesting Survivor Series. I do believe that in the long run, we're going to see Shayna Baszler hit the main roster at some point, probably sooner rather than later. And the money feud is definitely with Becky Lynch. So it would probably make sense, to be honest, if this Survivor Series didn't have a the Survivor Series three-way didn't really have a conclusion that involved Becky Lynch or Shayna Baszler in any tangible way. Maybe Bayley could take this somehow, these two at each other's throats, kind of ignoring Bayley, because both of them said the same thing. Well, I'm going to keep my eye on Bayley. I'm not overlooking her, but it's you I'm coming for. And then the other one says the same thing. Well, I realize Bayley's in the match, but, and by them sort of shifting that makes me think Bayley's probably going to win it in some weird manner. And the feud between Becky Lynch and Shayna Baszler could potentially continue, especially when Shayna Baszler hits the main roster. And that's definitely where the money is. The money is in the OC versus Undisputed Era, no question. The money's in Shayna Baszler versus Becky Lynch, no question. Some people are interested in Rusev and Lashley. I don't think there's much to be had there, but okay. That's a good little side thing. And I do think that the way they handled Brock Lesnar was probably the best I've seen them handle Brock Lesnar in a long time. And when you see Brock Lesnar sell like that, you can be damn sure that he likes Rey Mysterio and he respects Rey Mysterio any better. Now, this is a very good angle. When Paul Heyman approaches that table and asks Jerry Lawler where Rey Mysterio is and says, you know, if I turn Brock Lesnar loose on you, there's nobody that's going to revive you on television like they did last time. That's a pretty brutal line, man. That's a pretty brutal line. And then to add a little bit of realism to it, you're saying to yourself, well, I don't know. You know, you've got Dio Madden sitting right there. What's he going to do? Nothing? No, he does. He gets up and says, wait, that's going way too far. You know, you got a problem. Don't pick on him, a 60-year-old man. And Dio Madden gets put through the table. That works. That's logical. That's great. And then Rey Mysterio comes out. I'm not sure what Rey Mysterio had in his hand. Looked like something out of Star Wars. They're saying it's a pipe. It didn't look like a pipe to me. I don't know what the hell it was. But he wears Brock Lesnar out with it, and Brock Lesnar is definitely selling it. And Brock Lesnar's not always the best at selling crap. Ask Dean Ambrose about it, how well Brock Lesnar sells. So this was interesting because it shows when you use Brock Lesnar right, crowd was totally into that. Crowd is totally into Rey Mysterio being the ultimate underdog, going into a match with Brock Lesnar to defend the honor of his son, who Cain Velasquez couldn't even defend. And truthfully, they set this up rather well, didn't they? I pick on the WWE a lot, so give them credit where credit is due. They had Rey Mysterio on the verge of retirement. Dominic talks him out of retirement. Rey Mysterio is doubting his ability as a wrestler anymore. He says, I'll stay, but only for my son so that I can tag team with him once or twice. I know my best years are probably behind me, but I'd made that promise, so I'll stick it out for Dominic. Then Dominic gets waylaid by Brock Lesnar, and Rey Mysterio doesn't even say, well, I'll take care of this myself. Rey Mysterio says, I'm not sure I can take care of this myself. I'll go get Cain Velasquez, his godfather. Cain Velasquez, who most people thought was probably going to beat the hell out of Brock Lesnar, gets dusted. And now Rey Mysterio has no choice but to face it and say, hey, I'm stepping up for my family. That is a very good buildup, because it makes Rey look like the ultimate underdog who even doubts himself. But we've seen Rey pull off these things against bigger opponents. So this has actually caught my interest a little bit, because you've done it in an intelligent manner. You've built it up in an intelligent way. And do I think Rey's going to win? Nah, probably not. But at the same time, we're going to see something good, I think. I think Brock Lesnar is going to work for once in his life. And that's a good thing. We're trying to get to the phones, and we're just not hearing anybody. I don't know what the problem is. We apologize. Anyway, rating this show. Well, I gave SmackDown a B. And I do think that the matches were better on SmackDown. But I do think that the overall way you used NXT and the overall storylines you furthered on Raw was a lot better. Now, if you're a casual fan, you know who Undisputed Era is. You know who Adam Cole is. That's good. Now, if you're a casual fan, you got a feel for who Shayna Baszler is. That's good. Now we're finally getting a Rusev that isn't some, bumbling idiot who says, my wife is having an affair and rubbing it in my face, but I'll just sit here and hold the ring up and hope she comes back to me like a complete bitch. Finally, we get a Rusev with a little bit of fire in his belly. That's good. So we'll see what happens. I think the Survivor Series could potentially be, thanks to NXT, could potentially be one of their better ones. And the buildup for it could actually be pretty interesting. I don't want to go back to this Triple H, Seth Rollins thing. I don't want to. I just don't think it fits. It doesn't fit in Raw or SmackDown or NXT. We don't want this again. We don't want these authority figures pressing their thumb on the scale and saying, I'm tipping it in favor of the guy I like. Do we have to have this every single year? If Seth Rollins wants to turn heel, I'm all for it, because I think he's worn out as a face. But let's not go back to the I'm Triple H's lapdog thing. I don't want to see that again. Been there, done that. So I'm going to say that this show was slightly better. So I'm going to give it a, I give it an A minus. I don't think the Kabuki Warriors should have been beaten. I think that was ridiculous. I don't think anybody's interested in Charlotte and Natty as a tag team. I don't know why we're getting Andretti and Sin Cara every single week when you're not at least trying to move the storyline forward and saying, okay, well, they got one win at least out of it. No, Sin Cara has not gotten one win or any indication he's ever going to. I don't know why we're continuing this thing with Humberto Carrillo and AJ Styles. Humberto's a great wrestler. I don't want to just see him lose to AJ Styles every week. And then where's this going to lead? Where's the payoff? AJ Styles is going to get pinned and he's going to be your new champion because he persevered and he won 1 out of 19 matches. I don't want to see that either. And I don't want to see the Viking Raiders go back to doing squash matches. Let's move this forward a little bit. But overall, the Brock Lesnar thing was excellent. And I'm a huge critic of Brock Lesnar, believe me. I'm not for Brock Lesnar and his nonsense in WWE. But this was well done. And this Rey Mysterio thing is actually interesting. So good for them on that. Good for them on the segment with Jerry Lawler and Dio Madden, too. That looked great. Even the Rey Mysterio coming out with, what the hell was it, a lightsaber? I don't know what the hell it was. Even that was good, and Brock Lesnar sold it, and everything was great. That part of Raw was solid. The Rusev part, I don't know why Drew McIntyre is walking away if we're supposed to be unifying Team Flair again. Try to go to the phones one more time and see if we can get it so I can get a rating. Todd, can you hear me at all?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good. So what's your rating this week?
I'm going to go you on this one, an A-.
Okay, I mean, it wasn't a perfect show by any stretch, but it did improve upon the NXT invasion angle by leaps and bounds, and that's good. It's a good thing. Give them credit where credit is due. I'd rather see Drew McIntyre involved in a really good feud with a really good opponent than just to be cannon fodder for somebody else's feud. And I'd rather see the Kabuki Warriors pushed as a villainous tag team who's almost impossible to beat. But in the world of the WWE, you got to take what you get sometimes. And we got a few things that were good. I was definitely interested in where the Adam Cole-Seth Rollins match went, even though I was pretty sure I knew, and I was definitely into the Brock Lesnar thing, which is very unusual. And Derek is saying, in the chat room is saying, look, maybe NXT will win Survivor Series because of the AEW dominance in the ratings. I don't know. I don't know if Vince will go for that. On one hand, Vince wants to win the ratings war. But I don't know if Vince will go for that. We'll see what happens. I know they're not going to dominate. Not going to win every one of them. But they'll probably win one. At least one. We got a lot of matches. We don't even know what's, we've had a couple announced. There'll be plenty more. But I'm glad to see NXT's included in something now, because that means they're going to take them seriously as an organization. And they've kind of blown the we are the developmental wing of WWE wide open now. That's no longer valid. They are their own entity. They are their own federation, which is what they've wanted for a long time. Oh, and by the way, in related news, 205 Live, which was rumored to be going bye-bye and just merging into NXT, is actually not going bye-bye, but they are going to now do exactly what we said they should do a year ago on this show. Hold the 205 Live TV tapings at Full Sail where NXT is taped, because that's the audience that would appreciate it. You were holding them on SmackDown or on Raws, and people were like, who are these people? Either it was after the show where fans were exhausted, or before the show where they still hadn't gotten into the arena. That's ridiculous. They belonged, always belonged. If you were going to tape it at the same time as anything, certainly it was NXT. Because the NXT crowd is the exact crowd that will appreciate the 205 Live style of wrestling. So, hey, the WWE's taken our advice about several things, haven't they? Again, they get it right eventually. But I have no idea what takes them so long to get to the obvious. That's the frustrating thing about the WWE. We can sit here and say, isn't it obvious that that should have happened a year ago? And they're finally just saying, you think that would be a good idea? Yeah, maybe, yeah, that could work. What? Anyway, folks, thanks for joining us. We will be back here again on Friday with our SmackDown report. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.